Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Jesus Speaks with Authority, as we pick up in Mark chapter 1, verse 20. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
As we read Mark's gospel, because he doesn't give us any background, it would appear that Jesus, just walking along the shore of Galilee, suddenly saw Peter and his brother Simon and said, "Come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And they just left their nets and followed him. Well, that is what happened, but this isn't the first time that they had met Jesus. This is when Jesus called them to discipleship, but they had met Jesus earlier. In fact, in the Gospel of John, he tells us of their earlier meeting of Jesus. Andrew had met Jesus, and he came to Peter, his brother, and told him, "Hey, we have found the Messiah." And he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. They knew Jesus. They had met Jesus. They had observed the miracles that he had done. But now Jesus is calling them to a full commitment of discipleship. Knowing Jesus, immediately upon his call to them, they left their fishing, their nets, to follow Jesus. Notice James and John with their father Zebedee. Jesus later sort of nicknamed them the sons of thunder. But they had hired servants. They left their father with the hired servants. So they evidently came from a well-to-do background. And so they came into Capernaum, which of course is where Peter was living, there in Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now, when the scribes would teach the people, express an opinion as their own, they would say, "Now, Rabbi Hillel says of this, that it means this or that or the other." And they were always quoting other rabbis. They would never just say flat out, "Now, this is what the Lord is saying to us." They never would speak with authority. They would always, in their teaching, just quote the other ideas, the other thoughts, the other rabbis, and what they thought this might have meant. Thus, when Jesus came, he spoke with authority. We remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "You've heard that it hath been said by those of old time, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you," and he spoke with authority. And they marveled at this kind of teaching. They weren't used to this kind of teaching. They weren't used to someone speaking with authority concerning the Word of God. And so they were astonished at his teaching, because it wasn't as they were used to hearing, but he spoke to them and he taught them with real authority. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know thee, whom thou art, the Holy One of God." James, in his epistle, said, "You say you believe in God? So what? That doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't make you saved. For the devils believe and they fear and tremble before him." So just believing in God really doesn't bring you salvation, which many people are mistaken in that. They say, "Well, I'm not an atheist. I believe in God." But that isn't salvation. That's just proving you're not a fool. For it is the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. So you say you believe in God, then I believe you're not a fool. But it doesn't mean you're saved. Salvation comes by believing into a vital relationship with Jesus Christ, a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth into him, into this vital, life-changing relationship with him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, this demon crying out said, I know thee whom thou art. You're the Holy One of God. What are you doing? You're coming to destroy us? He recognized the power of Jesus. He acclaimed Jesus to be the Son of God, but he wasn't saved. It is possible for you to recognize the power of Jesus and acclaim that Jesus was the Son of God and still not be saved. Salvation is a life-changing experience as you believe into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, well, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him, speaking with authority to the demon. And so when the demon had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Mark makes mention of many cases of exorcism by Jesus, demonstrating the power that Jesus had over these unclean spirits or demons. We'll talk about that further when we get to the fifth chapter in the Man of Gadara. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So suddenly around the area of Galilee, there's a buzz about Jesus of Nazareth, things that he is doing, the things that he is saying. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. So Simon and Andrew had a home there in Capernaum. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and so they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. That is, she fixed them dinner. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and those that were possessed with demons. Not devils, plural, because there's only one devil. The word in Greek is the word translated demons. And all of the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of different types of diseases. He cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. A busy day, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, started out in the morning with this man with an unclean spirit as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And this man with an unclean spirit crying out and being cured. All day long, they began to bring people to him to be healed. On into the evening hours, how late we don't know, all the city was gathered together there at the door of Simon's house. You'd say, oh man, what a tough day. We better sleep in tomorrow. You've been spiritually expended. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. It's interesting that Jesus' concept of being renewed in strength and refreshed was not sleeping in, but getting out early before anyone else was up and communing with the Father. And he drew his strength from prayer. I do not know of any greater evidence of the necessity of our praying than the fact that Jesus prayed. Being the Son of God, he resorted to prayer for strength, for guidance, for life itself. And if he, being the Son of God, saw the necessity of prayer, how much more do we need prayer? If he saw the need of getting up early to pray, how much more should we realize our need of prayer? How important prayer is to the spiritual life of the believer. And Simon and those that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men are seeking for you." So later on, when they got up, Jesus was gone. But already there was a crowd of people around the door waiting. And when Simon and the others found him, they said, "Hey, everybody's looking for you." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for this is why I came." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils or demons. And again, Mark makes note of the fact that he was casting out demons. Notice this is the fourth time that Mark makes a special emphasis upon this fact. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, 'I am willing, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he sternly charged him and then sent him away. And he said unto him, 'See that you say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.' But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but had to stay out in the deserted places. And they came to him from every quarter." Now, Jesus was trying to have perhaps a little more freedom of movement. But when the news was going out, the leper was cleansed and all of the healings that were being done, it got so bad that he could not come into the cities anymore because of the throngs. In fact, we find him spending a lot of his time in a little boat offshore so that they couldn't press around him so much. The crowds so often get unruly, pushing, shoving. And so he would push out a little ways from shore in the boat, and there he would speak to them from the boat as they would stand on the shore. And his purpose in telling this man not to tell anybody is to give him a little more freedom of movement, but the fellow didn't obey, went everywhere telling everybody what had happened to him. It's hard to keep a secret when God has worked in your life. Now, it's interesting, Jesus didn't say, "Now look, I want to teach you how to witness, friend. Take this little booklet with four spiritual laws. And you go out and you take this religious survey and you ask all these questions," which opens the door. And then you say, "Well, do you know the four spiritual laws?" You see, when God has done a marvelous work in your life, witnessing is the most natural thing in the world. How can you help but just share what God has done in your life? It's just something that becomes so much a part of your life that witnessing is a very natural thing, not a program thing, but a very natural thing. You couldn't shut these people up. He didn't have to have a Tuesday night witnessing night where we go out and, you know, canvass the neighborhood. God was working in the lives of the people. They were being affected and touched by that work of God, and they naturally sought to share what God had done for them. The interesting thing about this leper is, number one, his statement to Jesus, if you are willing, is the Lord willing to heal us? Jesus looked upon him with compassion and said, I'm willing. The second thing is that Jesus touched him. Now, it was unlawful to touch a leper. If you touched a leper, you yourself were considered unclean for a period of time. However, Jesus touched him. But that really wasn't unlawful, because the moment he touched him, he was cleansed. So he was no longer a leper. Immediately he was cleansed. Jesus said, now go and show yourself to the priest and offer those things which the law prescribed. Go through the little ritual. So it is interesting to me that God in the law made provisions for a man who had an incurable disease, which ostracized him from society. God made provisions for that man with an incurable disease to be returned to society when he was healed of an incurable disease. But how can you be healed of an incurable disease? God made provision for himself to work as he so desired. So this is the law for the leper in the day of his cleansing. And God, under the law, gave that law for the leper in the day of his cleansing. Come and show himself to the priest. He examines him. And then he puts him in a house apart. And after 7 days, he examines him again to see if there be any new blotches or spots or whatever. And if he is clean after the 7 days, then he is to bring in this dove, and they are to kill it, two doves actually. They're to kill the one, put the blood in the basin and all, and they're to take the live dove and dip it in this bloody water and then turn it free, and it flies away with the wings flapping with the blood and all of the dove that was killed as a sacrifice for his cleansing. And he was then cleansed and could return to society. Interesting, though, to me that God would make provision for him to work. Oh, let's always give allowance for God to work. Let's not try to put God in a box. So leprosy is incurable. Well, give God the opportunity to work if he so desires. God left himself room to work. And if God leaves himself room to work, surely we ought to leave room for God to work. This is the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. That to me is just absolutely remarkable. I love that particular portion of the Levitical law where God made provision for him to do a miracle. If I want to work and heal a leper, all right, this is the law for the leper in the day of his cleansing. It is interesting in that leprosy is always used in the scripture as a type of sin, because it was such a horrible, loathsome disease that slowly ate away. First of all, it actually doesn't eat away, except that it destroys the nerve endings. And so people became deformed as the result of the leprosy because they lost feeling. First, it began in the extremities of their bodies, usually in their fingers or on their feet. And the first thing that leprosy does is numb your senses. It kills the nerves, so you don't feel anything. And because they can't feel anything, pain or whatever, they've lost their sense of feeling. The lepers quite often have their feet gnawed away by rats, and they don't feel it. While they're sleeping at night, the rats will just eat their feet. and they don't feel it because of the leprosy having destroyed the nerves. Or they'll put their hands down on a hot plate or a stove and they'll burn their hands and get the gangrene and all as a result of the burns. They can't feel it. And so the damage is done actually because they don't have feeling. And they say, oh, you know, his finger dropped off. No, a leper's finger doesn't drop off. But because they have lost the feeling in their hands, in their fingers, many times they are burned or destroyed in other ways because of this loss of feeling. Sin has a way of just anesthetizing a person, a loss of feeling, and slowly you're destroyed, incurable, except by a divine work of God. And so Jesus said, I'm willing, be thou clean, go, show yourself to the priest.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and grace. May the Lord watch over you, and may you be filled with His Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as He anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by Him, and may you enter into that fullness that He has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord. May your mind and heart be clear, sensitive, God, to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Want to know how to gain wisdom from God? Then don't miss out on Wisdom for Today by Pastor Chuck Smith.
Hi, this is Cheryl Broderson. Growing up, I had the wonderful privilege of spending every morning with my dad. And every morning, he would impart to me just a little bit of God's wisdom. Now, you can have that same opportunity if you pick up my father's devotional, Wisdom for Today. It's a 365-day trip through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And each day ends with a special prayer incorporating what you learn into your heart. That's Wisdom for Today. I pray that you have a wonderful journey with my Father.
The gift of wisdom is priceless. Be sure to order Wisdom for Today by Pastor Chuck Smith as a gift for yourself or for a friend. Call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-9673. Or to read a sample, visit thewordfortoday.org.